Good morning, everyone. So good to see you here this morning. Glad you came to worship with us today. If you would, grab your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 is where we'll be hanging out at this morning. As you're turning there, just a couple quick announcements. First thing is that coming up on the last Sunday night of this month, in just a couple of weeks, we will be having our Fall Family Fun Night. It's just a time that we're all going to come together. We're going to hang out. We're going to eat some food together. We're going to ask you to bring your favorite finger food to share with everybody, and then we're going to play some games and just have a time that we can get to know someone maybe that you don't know, but we're going to hang out together and just have a good time that evening from 5 to 7 in just a couple weeks, the last Sunday night of this month. So we hope that you will all plan on coming and being here. We'll have something for all ages on that night. Love to see all of you here. If you're a guest with us today, we are grateful that you came to join us this morning. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better, and the way that we do that is through the connection card that's in the seat back in front of you. If you would fill that out, drop it in one of the wooden boxes, or just scan the QR code that's on there, go into our website. You can learn more about us, and there's a place in there you can give us information so we can learn more about you. But good to have all of you here today as we worship together and we study God's Word together. So again, Acts chapter 4 is where we're going to be hanging out, but I'm going to be referring back to Acts chapter 3 quite a bit as well. Over the past few weeks in our Unashamed series that we have been going through, we have seen the urgent need for the church to rise up and to live boldly for Christ in a world that seems completely messed up, a world that seems completely upside down. We've talked about standing firm when the pressure to compromise is real. We've looked at what it means to put on the full armor of God so that we can resist the enemy's attacks. And we have seen examples of bold, unashamed faith like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow down even though everyone else was bowing down, even if it would cost them their lives. And today I want us to consider this thought, that living unashamed isn't just about what we believe, but it's about who we reflect. The title of today's message is Christ Living Through Us. Do we reflect Christ in our lives? When people see us, when we go out into this upside down world, in this dark world, do people see that we are people who have been with Christ, who know Christ, and who reflect Christ in our life? So as we consider that thought, I want us to think about this, that living unashamed, again, isn't about what we believe totally, but it's about who we reflect in our lives. If you were to go back into Acts chapter 3, you would see the story of Peter and John. Peter and John are making their way to the temple one afternoon to pray. This was something that was ordinary, something that was custom in that day. And as they make their way to the gate, they see a man who has been crippled from birth. He's being brought to the gate where he will beg people for money, for help, so that he can survive. This was something that would be common at this place for the beggars to hang out as the people were coming in, and they would hold out their cups, however they did it, and they would beg for money, hoping that they would get a little help on that day. And as Peter and John are making their way to the gate, they see this man, and there's something extraordinary that's going to happen on this day. Peter looked at this man who was begging for help, asking for money. And Peter looks at him and he says, I don't have any gold. I don't have any silver. I don't have anything like that to give you today. But I have something better. And Peter reaches his hand out and he says, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. This man that has not been able to walk for over 40 years now stands up. And he is walking. His life has been radically changed on this day. And the story goes in chapter 3 that he is now up. He's walking and he is leaping for joy and he is praising God in the temple court because of the miracle that has taken place in his life. As soon as the people began to notice this guy and the excitement that he had and that something is going on, and they looked at him, they realized that this is the man who they'd been walking past probably day after day, week after week, month after month, maybe year after year. They knew who this man was, and they knew that he was unable to walk and that he is now leaping and dancing, and you can just get the picture of how excited this guy must have been. But it also says that he was hanging on to Peter and John, and the people gather around to see what is going on. And as they gather around, Peter looks out and he sees this crowd, and he takes the opportunity to share with everyone in the crowd that day how their life can be changed through the power of Jesus Christ. On that day, the temple court transforms from a place of routine to a place of revelation of life-changing power. And the crowd stands in amazement, and they are in awe of what God is doing on that day. What a wonderful time this must have been. What a wonderful picture we get of the power of God at work that changes lives. Faith in Jesus Christ has healed this man. And as all these people are looking at Peter and John, that's what Peter tells them. Don't look at us. We're not the ones that did this. This miracle took place because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the one that did this. And they turn the attention towards Jesus. So here we have Peter and John. They were two ordinary men who had just witnessed the extraordinary power of Jesus work through them. They didn't take the credit. They didn't use the moment to build up a name for themselves. But they pointed everyone to Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand something today. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. That when you boldly stand and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, opposition is going to come. Out in the temple court that day, there was all kinds of excitement. There was great things that were going on. But opposition was right around the corner. And opposition came to them on that day. The same spiritual forces that resisted Christ when he walked on the earth were resisting these men as they were carrying out the work of Christ and what Christ had done in them. And it still works today. The force of evil will come against us. And instead of rejoicing, there was a group of people that became very angry. And the reason that this group of people became very angry was very simple, because Peter and John were proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. And that's where we're going to pick up in our story in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. "What should we do with these men?" they asked each other. "We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the reading of your word today. We thank you for your word that changes lives. God, I pray that right now we would all just listen to you, we would hear from you, and we would be obedient to you in whatever way that you lead us. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. What we are seeing in this story today is what it looks like when Jesus is alive in his followers. The same courage that once defined Christ before his accusers now fills Peter and John before their accusers. The same spirit that empowered Jesus to speak with boldness, that empowered Jesus to speak with grace, that empowered Jesus to speak with truth, is the same power that is working through Peter and John in their life. And this passage shows us what happens when believers decide that they will not live according to the world's approval, but they will live according to God's approval. When believers decide that we're going to live in the way that God would have us to live, and we're going to live for him, knowing what he has done in us, and we're going to allow him to work through us, then the world will be changed in a powerful way. When we understand that, when we believe that, then it should affect how we live each and every day. And I want you to look back at verse 13 because I don't want you to miss this morning. It says that they recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. They recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And I want us to consider this question for our own lives today. When we go out to our workplaces, when we go to our schools, wherever it is that we go, when we're with our family, do people look at us and see us as people that have been with Jesus? Now, when we leave this place today, we may be able to go out and people will look at us and go, "Oh, you look like people that have been to church." And I'm not talking about people that have been to church. People may see us as we do some good deeds and say, "Oh, you look like people that have religion." And I'm not talking about people that have religion. When they looked at these men, they saw men who had been with Jesus Christ, that their life had been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. And when people look at us, can they see the same thing in us, that we are people who have been with Jesus? Now, keep in mind that as the Sanhedrin court says that they look like people who have been with Jesus, this was not a compliment for them. The Sanhedrin court did not like Jesus, didn't like anything about Jesus. As a matter of fact, they were the ones that put Jesus to death. They were the ones that Jesus stood before and that they said, "You must die." That's what these guys, they didn't like Jesus. So it wasn't a compliment to them. And even in our world today, if people were to look at us and say, "You look like you've been with Jesus," that may not look like a compliment to the world, but I promise you, for Peter and John, that was one of the greatest compliments that they could receive. That you look like you have been with Jesus. These are men that's life has been changed by Jesus. And if people would say that about us, what a great compliment that would be, that you look like someone who has been with Jesus, that your life has been changed with an encounter of Jesus Christ, that you are different than the rest of the world. Oh, this world that's upside down, this world that's living in darkness, this world that's full of confusion, this world that's full of hate, full of all kinds of junk, that you don't look like this world. You look like people that have been with Jesus. And can I just say this? I think sometimes we get caught up so much in the religion side of things and what man thinks we should do, what man thinks we should be, how man thinks we should look, how man thinks we should act, that a lot of times we miss who we are in Jesus Christ. We miss Christ living through us because we're so worried about what others are going to think or what others are going to say, what others are going to do. But oh, if people would look at us and say, you are someone who has been with Jesus. It was clear to these enemies of Christ that the same thing that they saw in Christ, they are now seeing through these men. The same thing that they saw in Christ that they did not like, they're now seeing in Peter and John. And I want you to understand that when Jesus truly lives through his people, then they will start to see through his people the heart of Christ. They will start to see the attitude of Christ. They will start to see a group of people that treat others just as Christ would treat others. And that's the way that our lives should be. Not that we're just standing for those things that we believe, but we are now standing with Christ working through us in such a way that people are going, that's what Christ looks like. That's who Christ is. Knowing that some are not going to like it, but some will be drawn to that. So what was it that they saw in these men that day? Well, there's a few things that I want to point out this morning. The first one is going to take us back in to chapter 3. But I believe one of the first things they saw was they saw that Peter and John lived a life that was sensitive to the needs of other people. They were sensitive to the needs of other people. Again, look back into chapter 3. If you go back into verse 4, it says, when they see this man by the gate, when they see him there begging, it says that Peter looked at this man intently. Now, that's very important, and it's something that's easy for us to overlook sometimes. That, well, he just looked at this man intently. But what does that mean, that he looked at him intently? It means that he gave this man his full attention. It shows that he cares, that he was fully present with this person, and he truly wants to help this man out. He doesn't just walk by and glance at this man and toss him a little coin here or there. He looks at him in his eyes. And he's showing this man that I care about your condition. I care about where you're at. I care about what you need in your life. Now keep in mind that it's very possible that Peter and John had passed by this man several times before. Scripture doesn't tell us that. But this man was laying at the gate that they call Beautiful. It was a popular gate. It's very likely that they went past him several times. And if they did, I don't know what their response was. If they were just not glancing at him, trying not to make eye contact as they went past, or maybe they were, I don't know. But what I do know is on this day, what they saw was a man who had a great need in his life, and they had compassion on this man, enough compassion that they were willing to stop, to take notice, and to give this man what he needed on that day. They were able to hear the cry of a man who could not walk. They heard the cry of this crippled man who had been crippled all of his life, a man that had been forgotten by society, a man who was a burden to his community, a man who begged for his living. And we need to understand that they were not just sensitive to his physical need, but they were sensitive to his spiritual need, knowing that the spiritual need is much greater than the physical need. What he needed in his life spiritually was much greater than what he needed in his life physically. And that is so true even for us in our world today. The man's need was bigger than gold or silver. It was bigger than the ability to walk. His deepest need was for the power of Jesus Christ to change his life. That's what he needed. And that is what every person then needed. And that is what every person now needs, is the power of Jesus Christ to change their life. Not just for today, but for all of eternity. And that's what they were willing to share with this man. When Peter said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, the healing was not the full miracle. It was the visible sign of a great miracle, something that was greater that happened. The life-changing power of God at work in this man's life was incredible that day. I love what the picture that you get. This man now he jumps up, which so would I. If I couldn't walk for 40 years and now this man tells me stand up and I can walk, I'd be leaping, I'd be running, I would be doing everything I could because you couldn't do anything before. But I don't want us to miss what it says. He is praising God for what has taken place. And there's something that's much deeper than this physical miracle that has happened. Now, an incredible miracle happens when the man can walk. A man who had never walked since birth. But the greatest miracle wasn't the healing of this man physically. The greatest miracle is what we see when you go back to chapter 4, down in verse 4. It says, but many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. The physical need of this man was taken care of in such a way that it opened up the door of opportunity for Peter to share with this group as they gathered around. They saw the miracle. They wanted to get close to it. And as they come close, Peter is looking out. And now he's seeing this group of people with a much greater need, a need for a Savior. And he seizes the opportunity and he begins to tell them, don't look at us. The one who did this great miracle today is Jesus Christ. The one that you crucified. The one that you were shouting, let him die, free Barabbas. It is this man that changed this guy's life. And by the way, he can change your life today if you will repent and turn to him. And it was such a powerful message that day that 5,000 people gave their lives to Christ. Their lives were changed. That is the great miracle that took place. And I want you to understand this today, that sometimes taking care of the physical need of somebody opens up the door for us to help them see the great spiritual need that they have of Jesus Christ in their life. We see that in this story, that they're taking care of the physical, opening up the door. But they didn't just let the door open up. They seized the opportunity to share with them, look at what God is doing. Look at this powerful Savior. And look at what he can do in your life. Living unashamed starts with a heart that sees the real need. Sometimes we need to look past the obvious of people and see the real need. That every person has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. But that there is a God who loves us, that gave his one and only son for us. That those who would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. That sin leads to death, but a relationship with Jesus Christ gives us life, gives us hope. And that's the greatest need every person has. They saw with compassion. Oh, if we could see our world with that same kind of compassion. To have enough love for people that we would see their hopelessness without Christ. And to be able to share Christ with them in a way that compels them to come to him. To let him be the Lord and Savior of their life. The second thing we see is that their life was fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want us to look back at verses 7 through 13 because I want you to get this. I want you to see what happens. It says they brought the two in and they demanded of them, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Now keep in mind they were arrested at night, so it was late. So they said, just put them in jail overnight. So they bring them in. In whose power or in whose name have you done this? In verse 8 it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we have done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in Scripture where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that these were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. Wow, what a story of how these men, being brought before these powerful leaders, being questioned before these powerful leaders, these ex-fishermen who had never been to college, who had never been to seminary, who were not trained in the scriptures as these men who were questioning them, how they stood before them with a boldness. Now keep in mind, this is the same Peter that just a few weeks before, during the crucifixion of Christ, as Christ was going through trial, the same Peter who said, I will go with you always, I will even die with you if it's necessary. The same Peter that when he was questioned, aren't you one of those that was with Jesus, got fearful and ran for his life. Said, I'm not one of those guys. I'm not one that was with him. Just as Jesus said that he would do, and his heart was broken, but Jesus restored him after that. Same Peter. And now, all of a sudden, he is able to stand against the one, the group that has the power to have him thrown in prison, to make his life miserable, even to take his life. And he stands before this group with a boldness that he didn't have before, with a courage that he did not have before. Something is different in his life. The same thing with John. And as they looked at them, they said, there's something so different. There's something that has changed in them. These guys have been with Jesus. What a powerful statement. And how they were able to stand. But don't miss what it said. In verse 8, it said, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't a man of fear. He was a man that was filled. Filled with the Spirit of God. And he goes on and he says that, here, you want to know how this happened? Well, let me tell you how it happened. It wasn't us that did it. It was the one that you crucified. The one that you put on the cross. The one that you rejected. It is that Jesus Christ who has healed this man. And the power of the Holy Spirit, it gave him the courage. Because listen, this was a bold statement to these guys. You want to make the Sanhedrin court mad? Tell them that this is the guy that you rejected. This is the Jesus Christ that you put on the cross. The one that has been raised from the dead. That is who did this. And they see something different. And they see power that is in him. And they wouldn't let the power of opposition hold them back. They didn't let the power that these men had cause fear in their life. But they were willing to stand firm in Christ. Why? Because they were filled with the Spirit of God. Now I want you to understand something. The same Spirit that was in Peter and John on that day is the same Spirit that is in every believer today who has come to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it tells us that when we repent and when we turn to God, then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit comes to live in us on the day of salvation. The moment that you decide that you're going to be a follower of Christ and you surrender your life to Him, this same Spirit that lived in them, that gave them boldness and courage on that day, is the same Spirit that lives in us. But here's the thing. It says that He was filled with the Spirit. And I want you to understand that when the Spirit of God comes to live inside of us, the Spirit of God doesn't leave us. But Scripture tells us that we need to be continually filled with God's Spirit, to be continually filled up with Him. How does that happen? Well, that happens when we walk in obedience, according to Galatians 5:16, when we spend time in prayer, according to Acts 4:31, and we let God's Word dwell richly in our hearts, according to Colossians 3:16, as we yield to Him, then the Spirit of God fills us up in our lives, that we're able to live full of the Spirit of God. And live in His power, live in His strength, live with His boldness to live in a world unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we know that it is the power of God unto salvation, right? We know that, right? We're in church, right? We know it. You believe it? That's the question that comes. We believe it. We sit back and we say we believe it. How come we're not out telling everyone like they were with boldness and conviction? And I believe sometimes it's because we know it's true, but we know it's true because He changed my life. He saved my life, and if He saved me, He can save you. But when we're not walking filled with the Spirit of God, then we don't have that boldness. We don't have that conviction sometimes that we need to speak to others, pointing people to Jesus in the way that we should. The third thing that we see is that these men were able to live without compromise. As you go on through this story, you see that as they're standing behind in front of this court and they're questioning them, they're not liking what they hear. They see that these men have been with Jesus. They don't like this. They don't like them talking about Jesus. They don't like them proclaiming Jesus. But I want you to notice what happens in verses 15 and 16. It says, so they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. What should we do with these men? They asked each other. We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows it. Why couldn't they deny it? Because the miracle was standing right in front of them. It says the verse before that here's this man who has been healed is now standing. The man who couldn't stand before, the man that everybody knows because he was at the gate, they'd seen him for many years, is standing right beside them. We cannot deny that this miracle has happened. So what are we going to do? So they send Peter and John out. The door closes. And they began to talk. So we need to make a plea bargain with these guys. Listen, if we try to stop them, if we throw them in prison, if we try to kill them, we're going to cause a riot. Because now there's all these people that are rejoicing because of the miracle that's happened. And many people's lives have now been changed because of this. And so we have a problem. And so let's make a plea bargain with them that if they just stop teaching and talking about Jesus Christ, then we can let them go. If they will just stop telling the world that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, if they will just stop telling people that Jesus Christ will change their life, then everything will be okay. So they call these two men back in and they say, listen, guys, y'all just got to stop talking and teaching about Jesus. And what they're saying is, we don't care if you teach. We don't care if you heal somebody. We don't care if you do good deeds. We don't care if you're religious and all those things. But here's what you need to do is not talk about Jesus Christ. And I love what their response is because they're like, you want us to stop talking about Jesus. But here's the thing. I can't stop talking about Jesus. I cannot stop telling people what I've seen and what I've heard. And they're saying, I can't stop telling the world what I know about Jesus Christ. Why? Because they said it a few verses earlier, I have been with Jesus. And he has made a difference in my life. And you're not going to be able to silence me. You're not going to be able to shut me up. Again, here's a very powerful group of people. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't know that they're getting ready to get released anyway because these guys are afraid of what everybody else is going to think, what they're going to do, and the riot that it may cause. But they were willing to stand with that boldness without compromise. And I want to tell you something. We live in a world today that doesn't care if you talk about God. Maybe you've heard this statement, the big guy upstairs. They don't care if you talk about the big guy upstairs. They don't care if you go out and do good deeds in the name of the church. You take care of the poor. You take care of those that are hurting and needy. You can go out and do all that stuff. You can do everything that you want to do. Just don't talk about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the name that is offensive to the world. It was then, and it still is today. And they weren't talking to people and worried about what they might go out and post on social media. These weren't the kind of people that were just going to go out and cause a bad name for them and give them a hard time. These were people that might actually take their very life, and yet they stood with the boldness of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they had been with Jesus, and Jesus had changed their life because there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ for everyone who will believe. Everyone. And they knew that these people needed it and they were going to stand without compromise. And I want to tell you something. When you run across somebody who understands, who knows what Christ has done because Christ has changed their life and they're living full of the Holy Spirit in their life, you don't have to ask them to share Christ with somebody. You can't stop them from sharing Christ with somebody. When you have people that understand the greatest need that people need in our world today is Jesus Christ to change their life, to have an experience with Him that'll make a huge difference in their life. And they know that because they've experienced that for themselves, and they are living in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't keep them silent. The world can't shut them up. No matter what happens, it's people like that that are living unashamed for Christ that are making a difference in our world today. The people in that day knew that Peter and John had been with Jesus because their heart was sensitive to the needs of those around them. And their boldness was fueled by the power of the Spirit within them. And they lived their life without compromise, not backing down from the truth that they know through God's Word. And when the world looks at us, do they see the same thing? Do they see that we have been with Jesus? Not because of our words alone, but because His compassion flows through us. Because His courage gives us strength to stand. And His connection flowing through us gives us the courage not to compromise in a world that says, you must compromise. The goal isn't for us to be impressive. The goal is for us to be impactful. The goal isn't for us to stand out. The goal is for us to stand up with Jesus Christ living through us. The world is upside down. There's no question. The world is in darkness. No question. But when Christ lives through us, it is His light that makes a difference in the world around us. It's not us. Peter and John give us that example. It's not us. Don't look at us. We didn't do this. God just worked through us for this to happen, but it was not us. It's what Christ is doing. And I want to tell you something. I've said it through this series, and I'll say it again. Christ is moving in our world. Christ is still changing lives today. Christ is doing something great, and we have the opportunity just to be a tiny part of that in the world that we live in. To make a difference for Him, to let His light shine as we live our lives unashamed of the gospel of Christ, unashamed of the truth in Jesus Christ that has changed our lives, unashamed to let our faith live out for a world to see as Christ lives in us, to let the world see the power of God in us and through us so that they too might come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. Listen, I don't know how much time we have left on this earth. For some it may be short, for some it may be long. Christ may return today. But what I do know is while we're breathing, while we're alive, we have the opportunity to live unashamed for Him in a way that makes a difference in people's lives today. Let's stand together as we dismissed this morning. I want to ask you that question for us to consider. For those around us, those close to us, those that we come in contact with, when they look at us, would they say the same thing about us that was said about Peter and John, that these are people that have been with Jesus? Again, not people that have just been to church, but people's lives who have been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and the difference that it makes in our life, that they can see the difference. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, the greatest decision you'll ever make is receiving Him. And if His Spirit is speaking to your heart, then today, right where you're at, you can say yes to Him. And if you'd like to visit with somebody about that, we'll hang around after the service, after we dismiss. We'd love to have that opportunity. But the challenge today is, as we go out, to continually ask ourselves that question, can the world see Jesus through us? Father, I thank You again for Your Word. I thank You for the hope that we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and living in a world that needs that hope as much today as ever before, that we would go out and we would be a light because of what You're doing in us and through us, that we would live with compassion, the same compassion that Jesus had, that we would live our lives unashamed of the gospel, that we would live our lives without compromise, that we would be filled with Your Spirit each and every day, and we would make a difference in a world around us that needs You. God, I thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, and that through him we have salvation. What we did not deserve, you gave to us. What we could not earn, we have through him. So God, help us to be bold witnesses for you, to live in your power each and every day. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Have a great week.